Please feel generous when donating after church today. There will be plates in the back. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Taylor and Lizzie. Oh, my notes from last week. Shall we do it again? Oh, this isn't one of those pulpits that you can just tuck things under. All right. You know, Lizzie was in the newspaper this last week. Did you see that? Playing for the Lodi Titans, leading them to a victory. Congratulations. And by the way, what's that? Didn't I say Taylor? Forgive me. I meant Taylor. Yeah, Lizzie Wallace, right? Well, we didn't formally say hello to our dear Pastor Scott and welcome back. So, it was so funny. At church board, he was talking about a bump on his hand. Which hand is that? The left hand. Caught his thumb on something, and he used that as a segue to talk about how, you know, he's finding more things going wrong. He needs to be more careful with his body. And so one of the things he did during his sabbatical was to learn surfing. So I'm still trying to make sense of that, but I know there's a larger sense in which it does make sense. So, Are you hungry for Jesus like that song said? If we're honest with ourselves, boy, we have to acknowledge that that goes up and down, doesn't it? We get caught up in the affairs of this life, the worries, the concerns, the things we want, for heaven's sake. Oh, let my prayer be each day, and I pray that your prayer is also the same. Let me be hungry for you today. Let the urge, let the drive that moves me today be hunger for Jesus. And not just hunger for Jesus in me, but hunger for Jesus in the others that Jesus puts me in touch with. By the way, hello, Do Fasters, and thank you. And hello, young men and women right in that room. You matter too. And parents in that room and children. We are all one family. Well, I want to show you something. Anyone recognize this? Anybody know where this is? Did someone say Guam? Yes. This is on the island of Guam. Does anybody know who owns these towers? Adventist World Radio, averaging 236 feet tall. And you can't see very well. If you look very carefully, you can just make it. But you can, in this view, I'm having a hard time getting this. There we go. In this view, you can see those, they're called curtain antennas strung between them. Between those towers are curtain antennas that that are the size of 2 football fields. Towers about 236 feet high, and these curtain antennas that are about the size of 2 football fields. Here's a scene just to get you some scale on those towers and those great curtains of antennas that are intended to do what? To get the gospel out around the world. 200 and some feet tall, the size of 2 football fields, and 100,000 watts. The signal goes out from the island of Guam directionally towards the mainland of China. It goes a little bit east, and then further west towards the... I better just stay out of geography on this one. But anyway, it goes over Asia. This is Adventist World Radio Asia. And by the way, just informational stuff, Adventist World Radio is around the world, shortwave, because shortwave reaches into so many countries and brings the gospel to them. With relatively low wattage, it's able to do that. But in this case, 100,000 watts, this is the only facility that's actually owned by Adventist World Radio. To cover the rest of the world, Europe and the Middle East and such, they rent facilities and to broadcast from other entities. But this one, Adventist World Radio owns, and within the reach of those signals, those shortwave signals, are 3 billion people that they are working round the clock in different languages to reach them with the good news of Jesus and his message for these last days that we live in. All right, I want to show you something else. Does anyone recognize this? Yes! Are you like in the radio business, Lauren? Kevin is, yeah. So the other day, I was on the campus at Lodi Academy, walking around, and I saw that little thing right there on this pole reaching up kind of towards 200 some feet, but not really making it. This little thing, I don't even know the dimensions on this thing, but it is small, especially compared to that facility over in Guam, those structures towering into the sky. And look at this little service building. There it is. This is amazing. The headquarters of KSTG-LP 101.5. Right there. The transmitters, The cables that go up that pole to the little antenna that's mounted on top, guess how many watts it's powering out into our community with? 100,000? Not quite. 100 watts! 100 watts, that's what the LP in KSTG LP stands for. Low power. And you know why we have a 100-watt station? Because we can. And Carolyn Meeks and Dave Marson and the others that work with them put this together because it is a frequency and a power that was available so we can get, or as the STG stands for, send the gospel into Lodi. And that's all. When you look up online, KSTG LP, you will find, I was looking for the wattage on it. I could have asked somebody, but, you know, why ask when you have the internet? But anyway, I looked it up, and I couldn't find how many watts, but I did find on the charts that they listed the signal as having the power to reach 1.0 miles. Now, I don't know if you've tested the signal, but I've driven around Lodi, and you can pick it up in Lodi. That station is designed to reach the people of Lodi with the message of Jesus for our time. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, you know, if we had a license to broadcast at higher wattage and to go a bigger distance, that that's exactly what we would be doing. But this is what was available. This is what we could have. And so this is what has been embraced so that we could send the good news. We could send the gospel into Lodi. And here, in case you didn't know, is the frequency. By the way, if you want to listen to a little bit, let's hear a couple seconds of KSTG-LP. Is it still? Now, I want to tell you, that's not the problem of the antenna. Because I didn't have a radio to put it in, so it's live streamed on the internet too. If you search on KSTG LP live stream or stream, you can actually pick it up anywhere around the world on the internet. So that's good news, isn't it? That's the good news we're trying to get out. But anyway, sorry I couldn't give you a little listen now so that you could hear it. But after church, they have a nice musical program going right after church at 101.5, so you can tune your radio station to it to hear that. And then they also have message programs. It's an affiliate of 3ABN. Most of the programming originates there. And by the way, not too long from now, Pastor John's working on getting everything formatted so that our messages from week to week will also be on there. I don't know at what time, but we'll find out and we'll let you know. Because they are able to put local programming on. But I want you to think about those giant towers with 100,000 watts that we were looking at. What if they, at Adventist World Radio, sent a letter to Carolyn Meeks and Dave and whoever else gets the mail at KSTG saying, "You people might as well get off the air. We're the big ones here. Have you seen our antennas? Look, yours is so puny. 100 watts? Are you kidding? Why don't you just give up? You're not even doing the same thing as we are." Would that be okay? Of course not. How many of you have been tuning in to Adventist World Radio here in Lodi? How many of you have a shortwave radio? Not that many. Not that many. If you have a shortwave radio, you can. Fortunately, in the countries that they're trying to reach, shortwave radios are some of the most common radios, and people have them to get programming from around the world. But I'm guessing most people in Lodi don't have the equipment to receive shortwave radio broadcasts. And so, in the body of Christ, in His work to reach the world, there is room for 100,000 watt Adventist World Radio and room for 100 watt KSTG LP on the campus of Lodi Academy. In fact, to do what KSTG is doing, Adventist World Radio can't do it. You'd think with those mighty antennas, they could do anything. But they can't reach the people of Lodi on their regular radios. But KSTG can. With 100 watts. When you get out, let me see. They say the signal, you can get it out towards Galt. And so I assume you can get it. I haven't tested it on the western boundaries. I've definitely tested it on the eastern boundary. And once you get past 99, you probably have a half mile or maybe even a whole mile to keep on getting the signal. But they are doing what God called them to do, and we deserve the same respect for that mission and the carrying out of it as Adventist World Radio, because they're doing what they are called to do with what they have been equipped to do it with, and we are doing what we have been called to do with what we have been equipped to do. No one needs to look down on anybody. We all just need to help each other do what God has called us to do. We're continuing in our series, A Body to Live For, and today we're talking about Just Like Everyone Else. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you truly love us, that you have promised that as we hunger for you, that you are here to fill us, to satisfy us, and empower us to do what you have called us to do. We ask now that you will speak to our hearts through your word. Tell us exactly what we each need to hear, and give us hearts that are responsive, so that whatever your call is upon us, through your word, that our answer will be yes. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You might want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because we are going to be referring to it. We are looking at the body of Christ. The scripture that summarizes it all so well in verse 12 says this: "For as the body is one and has many members, many organs, many parts, many limbs, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." This is the great assertion of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's made elsewhere in the scripture. The prayer of Jesus, that they may be one. In God's eyes, that's exactly what it is. One body. We talked about in the past, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. One body, so also is Christ. And then we looked at the picture that Pastor John found, just to visualize the body of Christ. You may have heard the song that's based on a prayer that says, "Christ has no hands on earth but yours, no feet to walk but yours." And he's talking about you by yourself. It's talking about us as members of the body of Christ. If you are in Christ, if you are trusting him as your Savior, as the forgiver of your sins, as the lover of your soul, as the Lord who leads you and directs you and empowers you, then you are in Christ. You are one of these faces, one of these precious people who is considered his own, and you are the body of Christ, along with all the others who are in Christ. Reviewing: one body, many parts. You got that? One body, many parts. Many parts, one body. Now we are going to go on looking how the scripture unfolds. You remember we saw the one way of looking at the equation. Paul's going to flip this around, what we looked at last week. The one way of looking at the equation is where a part of the body says, "I'm too small. I don't matter. My gifts aren't incredible enough. I can't be that important. I might as well leave." That's what Paul says a person might say who doesn't think they have that great of a gift or something like that. But what does he say? "And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, Is it therefore not of the body? And emphatically, can you answer that? It's a good thing we're talking about how important ears are. And if the ears should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? That is correct. Maybe it's a little confusing because that's kind of a double negative construction there. But yes, the answer is no, it is not of the body. Yes, it is of the body every bit as much as the eye, which has cooler jobs and everything like that. It is every bit as much a part of the body. Now, having established as we did last week from this scripture, you are irreplaceable. Now, we're going to look at one body, many parts, but still one body. Before, we were looking at the part that doesn't think much of themselves, saying, the eye matters, I don't. And Paul says, so what if the whole body was an eye? He says, that wouldn't work. Now we're looking from the other side. We're looking from the viewpoint, shall we say, of the eye. Let's read on. Starting in verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. If you look up in verse 14, you'll see it's just the reverse. For in fact the body is not one member but many. Now in verse 20 he says, but now indeed there are many members but one body. Why is it important to establish that? Well, look. He says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Do you see? Before, we were figuratively down low, looking up, saying, because I'm not up there at 236 feet, I might as well quit. I don't matter. I might as well leave. Now, we're up at 236 feet, looking down at the little 100-watt antenna and saying, you don't matter, because you're not all that I am. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow how much? Greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. This is amazing. This is so much like the teaching of Jesus. It says, if you want to be the greatest, what does he say? In his kingdom, be the servant of all. Jesus himself, who went lower and lower, you might remember from Philippians chapter 2. He didn't grasp his privileges, but he emptied himself and became obedient. He became like a human. He became a human. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And then it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him. Lower and lower, not lifting himself up. Humble. Well, I remember when I was a kid. This is some of my earliest memories. I remember in our house, we lived above the church in Fortuna, up on the hill. And I remember one year, they had a nominating committee meeting in our basement. It was very mysterious, because if you've been on a nominating committee, you know, it's confidential, you know, because you're talking about people and how well suited they are to different offices, and people sometimes talk more frankly than we're used to, you know, because we have to make sure that it's a good fit for people in different functions in the body of Christ. And so it's very confidential. Very confidential. And so they would go down the stairs and into the basement, and the door would shut. And we couldn't go in there. And we wondered what was happening in there. We just knew it was very secret. And we knew that out of the process, that there would be elders and deacons and deaconesses and treasurers and stuff working in the church with a secret process. And that fascinated us. We didn't have television. Choice my parents made, because my dad thought it was a shame for kids to be holed up when they should be outside playing. And so anyway, we had all kinds of other inventive ideas. So one of the things that we would do on trips and in other situations, sitting in the back seat of the car, is we'd get a blanket and we'd put our heads together under the blanket. And then we'd start going, reliving how we imagined the process might have worked. And we'd go under the blanket going, chanting, nominating, 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 nominating. And then we'd yell out, so-and-so is going to do such-and-such. And I can't remember any of the so-and-sos and the such-and-suches, except one that stands out in my mind. And guess what? As is so often the case in human memory, it's how we would put each other down. We'd go under that blanket, go nominating, 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 nominating. Jimmy gets to clean the toilets! And other such non-desirable seeming tasks. Because we knew that if you were cleaning toilets, no respect there, right? No respect there. You don't matter. That's a good put down. But Paul is saying, not in this body, not in the body of Christ. That might go in some other body. That might go in some other family, in some other group, but not in this family, not in this body. We give more honor, more protection. And he refers to our bodies because that's exactly what we do. We give more protection, more honor in such a way to the parts that sometimes we frankly find embarrassing and don't want to be seen. We take special care. And then he goes on. And this is the great object. This is the great purpose of what he's talking about. He's talking about it to this Corinthian church that he's already talked to them about someone saying, well, I follow Apollos, and you follow Paul, so we're better than you because we listen to Apollos, or we're better than you because we listen to Paul, or I came into the church through Paul or through Apollos. And then he goes on and he talks about people feeling shut down because they gather for communion, the greatest time that should say we are one, drinking from one cup, eating one bread under one Lord. But instead, rich people are showing off by having great feasts at the communion table, while poor people who are struggling to have the food that their families need just come and they get the piece of bread and they get the cup of grape juice and they go hungry while the others are feasting. He says there's these ways you have of dividing yourselves, of showing who's better and who's not as good, of showing who's more important and who's less important. He says, but it's like the body. It's all for one and one for all, that there should be no schism, no separation, no dividing, no status caste system, no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. This is the plan. Oh, how many times do we pray, God, please show me your will. Please show me your will about this person and what's going on between them and me. Please show me your will about what you want me to do with your life. Well, there's a whole lot that's not spelled out in the Bible. But this is spelled out, isn't it? This is the will of God. This is the will of God. He wants his body to be one. Jesus, at the end of his time here on earth, prayed, Father, that they may be one as you and I are one. And you remember how one that is. It's beyond anything that you and I have ever experienced with every last person in the body of Christ, with every last person who is trusting themselves to Jesus to be their Savior and Lord, to be one with them like the Father and the Spirit and the Son are one. Amazing. Requiring a miracle, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Who decides, really? decides, really, what place you have in the body? Is it the nominating committee, really? I've been to nominating committees, by the way. They don't use blankets, just in case anyone's wondering. We had that all wrong. The process is much better. Remember back a verse before we read last week? Oh, it looks like I left the reference up there. But now, who has set? God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Why is this important? Why is this so important to remember? Because whether you feel like you are the 100-watt antenna looking up at the 236-foot antenna, or you're the 236-foot antenna looking down at the 100-foot antenna, the 100-watt antenna, he's saying, God has given you your place in the body of Christ, and every last one is as important and valuable as every other one. One of my favorite sayings that I say to myself and to other people, you know, as pastors, we move around and there's status, you know, attached. I've not heard it from people very strongly, but you kind of hear it sometimes when among church members and stuff, going to churches of different size or going to work at the conference office, and people use terms like, oh, you're moving up. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no moving up in the kingdom until Jesus comes. Do you understand that? There are only lateral moves. There is no higher position than the place to which God has called you. No matter what that calling is, no matter where it's located, there's no higher and lower. Are you in the place that God has called you to be, doing what he has gifted you and called you to do? There is no higher place than that. And we are all one body, all part of the same thing, all part of each other, all under the same Lord. So you remember the message at the end of last week. You are irreplaceable. If you're thinking of cutting and running because you don't feel important enough, you are irreplaceable. That was the message from last week. The message from this week is, just like everyone else. You are irreplaceable, just like everyone else. I've told you before, no one can imagine how special you are to God. Go back to the Psalms. What is it, Psalm 103, or is it 139, where it says that he knew you before you were even born. It says, his thoughts to you are like the sands of the sea. Have you ever been that obsessed about anything? Where you had enough thoughts to match each and every grain of the sand all over the ocean? He says, God's thoughts towards you are like the sand of the sea. You can't put together how many thoughts, how much God is thinking of you. You are special beyond your ability to imagine, just like everyone else. The problem isn't thinking you're too special, because you can't even imagine how special you are to God. You know, everything that people say about Jesus would have come and died on the cross just for you is absolutely true. The whole thing about filling in John 3:16 with your own name produces absolute truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if you or you, if Woody would believe on him, he would not perish but have everlasting life. If Lizzie Wallace would believe on him, she would not perish but have everlasting life. But the same is true of every other person in the room, of every other person in the world. You are more special than you could imagine, but so is everyone else. Okay. I'm going to do something for those that feel guilty. I'm going to do something for those that feel guilty about what's been tugging at their minds this whole time. Tomorrow there's a meeting of sorts, yes? A meeting in one place that is spawning meetings all over the place, right? Does that remind you of anything, by the way? There is a meeting, one place, that's spawning meetings all over the world right now, at least in our time zone. But there's a meeting that's taking place. What is it, in Phoenix? I told you a whole lot by just saying, what is it, Phoenix? I don't live for professional sports, but they're interesting. So there's a meeting taking place tomorrow between the Seahawks and the Patriots. All right? Now, there are two guys that people have been talking a lot about, right? See? Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, right? For those of you on this side, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. Now, I want you to think about this. Are Russell Wilson and Tom Brady going to go out on the team, on the field, just mano a mano? You know? I've been hearing about you, Tom Brady. Oh, wait. I saw in the pictures, as I was looking for a picture of him, I saw one of him going like this. And I was very happy to see that, because I understood from that, and it was confirmed by my early teen class that I taught this morning, that he is a follower of Jesus. So I'm glad for that. I don't know where Tom Brady stands on that, but no, they are not going to get on the field, just Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, are they? They are going to have teams with them, are they not? They are going to have teams with them. And here's what I really, you know, we think of the quarterback as being in charge of the team, right? Because after all, in the huddle, they're the one that, you know, says you this and you that, you go out here, turn around there, and on, and they say the number or the signal that it's going to be that the ball's going to get hiked. But they are not in charge, are they? Who's in charge? It's a good thing I didn't see who the smart aleck is. I'll have to do voice analysis and figure out who said that. The ball boy. Who determines who the defensive end is? Does the quarterback determine that? No. Who determines who the right tackle is? Does the quarterback determine that? No. The members of the team are placed in the lineup according to what the coach says, right? Does Russell Wilson or Tom Brady get to say to one of their team members, I don't need you. I'm the quarterback after all. Do they? No. They need the blockers. They need the tackles. They need the receivers. And they don't get to determine who they are. Oh, for the individual play, they have some determination with input from the coach about who they work with and how they work that play with the team that they've been given, but it is the team that they've been given, isn't it? And brothers and sisters, you are on a team that you have been given. God has not called you to judge your fellow team members, whether they are greater than you or whether they are less than you. Whether they should be in the team or whether they should be off the team. He is the one who makes the call. He is the one who determines. And he calls you and I to love and work with each other. To take care of each other. To make sure that each one knows their value in the team. To do plays together. No matter what some unrepentant or unconverted part of our hearts might tell us about that other person. To be together, the same family, the same team. You are irreplaceable, just like everyone else. I'm going to get personal. We're all human beings here. And we've said amen, and I think we agree about what we talked about. just now about what we read from the scriptures, that every last person in the body of Christ is just as important as you, and you can't believe how important you are. Every last person in the body of Christ matters just as much as you, and you can't understand how much you matter. But we get thoughts and feelings, don't we, about people in the body of Christ. We're tempted to think that some people don't matter. That's what we're talking about this week. Last week we talked about if we're tempted to think that we don't matter. But we're tempted to think that some people don't matter. We're tempted to think that some people are just problems. And why can't they be more this way? And why can't they be more that way? And why can't they stop doing this? And why can't they stop doing that? And why do they irritate me or go on or whatever they do? How come they don't come through for me like I would do if I was in their position? We're talking real. So I want you to take a moment. And I want you to think of somebody. I want you to think of somebody that you struggle accepting in the family of God. I want you to think of somebody that you struggle with looking down at them and wondering why they can't be more together or why they need this kind of attention or whatever it might be or why they don't come through like you think they should. I want you to think of that person. And right now, tell yourself before God, he, she matters as much as I do. She or he has just as much right to be in the family of God, in the body of Christ, as I do. And my call is to love her or him. That is my call. My call is not to criticize them, not to hold grudges, but to see how, by the grace of God, I can be a help to them in the body of Christ. How I can be a protector of them if the situation calls for it in the body of Christ. Just like it was saying, our less presentable parts, we give more honor, all these kinds of things. How I can do that in real life, in a real way. This is God's call for you and me today. This is how the body of Christ, which I love here in English Oaks, which I'm so appreciative for the love that flows in and among us, can get to even the next level of being the body of Christ that God has called us to be. To make sure that no one feels looked down on. To make sure that no one feels overlooked and unimportant. That everyone, did you hear that phrase? Has the same care one for another. You might feel like I'm putting you on a guilt trip. Well, if that's what it takes, I am. I believe with the cooperation of the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you something about guilt trips. They don't need to be long. That's the good thing about guilt trips in God. They don't need to be long, and they were never meant to be long. The only thing that makes a guilt trip long is if you're holding out on what God is calling you to do. You understand? You can end a guilt trip like that. There's two ways, one good and one bad. One is to ignore it and move on and harden your heart. And some of you who've studied your Bible know where that leads. If you keep it up, your heart gets so hard that you can't even hear the Spirit of God through the Word or through the still small voice or anything like that. You don't want that to happen. You can get off of a guilt trip, bring it to a screeching halt by hardening your heart. The other way to end a guilt trip is to see the loving Father whose biddings, as Ellen White says, are his enablings. Who anything he asks you to, he makes you able to do. And anything that you have done that's contrary, he has abundant grace to forgive you and declare an it starts now, right here, right now. That's what he's able to do. And smitten by his love, you can cast yourself in his arms and say, yes. The call you are making on my heart, to open my heart to all of my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, I will say yes. I don't know how. And know this, you know, that person that you pictured in your mind, they may not instantly become your BFF, your greatest friend, the person you always are hanging out with, but you can still love them. And you can still be looking out for them, not to avoid them, but to help them. And to make sure that other people don't hurt them either. You can do that. And see how the relationship grows, because we know by the time we get to heaven, we're all going to be BFFs, right? Best friends forever. Without end. Always. And it starts now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the unbelievable value that you have placed upon us. That every last one of us, you have given us a place and a calling within your body. You have given us the gifts needed to fulfill that calling. Oh, Father, we do not look to our own strength because we do not have it, but we look to you through Jesus. Forgive us for where we have cut one another off. Forgive us for where we have harbored ill feelings, grudges, and spite towards others in the body of Christ. And heal us so that we are free and forgiven to love and only love. So that truly, when any face within your family comes to our hearts, that we see just as you said, inasmuch as we have done it or not done it, to the least of these, we have done it or not done it to you, because it is, after all, your body that we are all part of. And Father, if anyone's having a struggle right now, knowing either under conviction of what we've talked about, or just under conviction just because knowing that we haven't lived the life that you've called us to, feeling like that maybe there's no place in the family for us, oh, Father, I pray that right now that every last one of us can see Jesus on the cross giving his life for each of us and all of us, accepting that the forgiveness that he offers, the grace that he offers there, is for each of us and all of us. And right now, we can say by faith, Jesus, thank you. I am yours. I am forgiven. Do with me whatever you want. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need some help,